Philippians chapter 3 is where we have been, and we'll be zeroing in on some more, verse 10 particularly this morning, but we've been looking at five benefits of being a believer, and today we're going to look at the power of Christ, the power of Christ. You know, it's very interesting. It's a blessing to be able to be a believer and have these five benefits. Now, this isn't all the benefits that you have. These just happen to be the five benefits that Christ or that Paul mentions. There are benefits of being a believer: knowledge, righteousness, power, fellowship, and glory. And so we're looking at those. First of all, we looked at knowledge, and we spent some time describing knowledge. Knowledge, coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is more an intellectual understanding of who Christ is and the facts relating to Christ. It's acknowledging that that's true, and it's personally putting your faith or acceptance in Christ. But I've talked with so many people over the years who the Bible, until they came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, was pretty much a closed book. They didn't understand any of it. Now, I don't understand all of it. I'm not going to make any bones about that. But scriptures began to make sense once I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Things that seemed to be obscure before stood right out because you have the indwelling teacher as a believer, the Holy Spirit, that helps make things clear to you. So knowledge, what a blessing that is, that we have a resident teacher in us as believers, and that resident teacher is the Holy Spirit. And the next thing that we saw, the next benefit, is righteousness. Now, when Paul is talking about righteousness, he's certainly not talking about human righteousness at all, the righteousness that comes by the law, because that type of righteousness, as far as gaining acceptance by God, is as filthy rags. Isaiah says, "Or we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The righteousness that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the righteousness that comes to us when we place our faith in Christ. There's a big transaction that takes place, as we explained in our last message together. And it still baffles my mind where Christ gets all of our sins. All of our sins are laid upon him, and then all of his righteousness is put on our account. And this is much better than the good bank, bad bank that they're talking about in our nation. This counts for eternity. Jesus Christ gets all of our sin debt, because the wages of sin is what? Death. But he gets all that sin debt. And then he gives us a gift, and that gift is his righteousness and the gift of God that brings eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, man, what a benefit. We get knowledge. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, our teacher, in there so that we understand and begin to understand. And as we study, understand more and more the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get righteousness, righteousness that counts, righteousness that brings us into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then today we're looking at the third benefit of being a believer, and that is the power of Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. If you have your Bibles there, it's amazing. It says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Then it goes on saying the fellowship of his suffering. We'll look at that next time we're together. Being conformable unto his death. But I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, I want to tell you, there is nothing more powerful in the world, as we understand power, and I'll explain to you what it is in a minute, than somebody who was dead for 3 days, rising again from the dead, never to die again. That's a resurrection to immortality. Oh, certainly the other resurrections in the Bible were really something. If you remember, Lazarus was dead 4 days, and they said, "Oh, don't open the grave because he'll stink by now. By now he stinketh." And the Lord Jesus Christ said the words, "Come forth!" And you know what? Bound hand and foot in his grave cloth still, Lazarus scoots out of the grave, and it was a resurrection to mortality. Lazarus lived a number of years, past that, but then he died again. But Jesus Christ's resurrection was different, different resurrection than Dorcas, different resurrection than Jairus' daughter, but still, those things were powerful, but Christ was all powerful. Jesus Christ's resurrection was a resurrection to immortality. That means he never died again. In fact, Jesus is alive today. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he's busy. You know what he's busy doing? He's busy making intercession for us. And I say, thank you, Lord. He is there. But let's talk about the word power here. Give you some definitions that relate to this word power. Now, there's a number of different words in the New Testament that are translated power. And the one that we're looking at right here is dunamen. It comes from the root word dunamis. And the reason that that is interesting to me is because the word dynamite comes from the Greek word dunamis. And it's one of the words that's translated power. The word occurs 118 times in the New Testament, and here's what it means. It does mean power, ability, might, and strength, physical or moral, as residing in a person or in a thing. In this case, in a person. It denotes inherent ability, capability. So, inherent ability and capability. The ability to perform something or anything. It also means power to work, power to carry something into effect. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. In Luke chapter 24 and in verse 49, it talks about what's going to happen to believers once the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is going to bring ability and capability to believers. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, with dunamis from on high. What? Well, God was going to bring them ability and capability to live the Christian life. That's what it's all about. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, another illustration of how the word dunamis is used. It says, Paul says this, and this is used of a thing. It says, for I'm not ashamed, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and here it is. For it is the dunamis of God, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Man, there's power. The root word dunamis, power, is to be distinguished from exousia, which means the right to exercise power. So we're looking at the inherent ability and capability to perform something. Now, let's explore this a little bit more. When you come to salvation, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that brought Paul into knowing Christ. But when he trusted Christ as Savior, this was the basis for Paul's lifelong desire and pursuit to know Christ more deeply, to become more Christ-like. You see, what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 is that he yearned to fully experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why? Why did he want to do that? Well, the Apostle Paul knew that there was absolutely no power in the law to overcome sin. Just read Romans chapter 7. Paul is talking about this. He has these desires in his life, but there's no power. And we'll be looking at a little bit of that in just a moment here. He knows there's no power in the law to overcome sin. And besides that, he knows that there's no power, long-lasting power in himself, in his flesh, to be able to live like he ought to live, to enable him to overcome sin and to be able to serve the Lord. Even though it's written out there, if you have your Bibles, I'd rather you turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 21, because Paul talks about this dilemma that he sees in his life in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through verse 21. And here's what he says. For in verse 18, Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." He says, you know, my flesh has all kinds of good ideas, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And then he goes on to say this, very, very interesting. He says, for this, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. If I do that, I don't want to do, he's saying. It is not no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. He says, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul is just saying, I discovered that there's no power in the law. All the law was given to is to point me to the fact that you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You need outside help. You need outside help. You can't do it yourself. And he's saying, even though my mind wants to do what's right, I just don't have the power to follow through on it like I should. But then, look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord in Romans chapter 7. It says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is not, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul knew about the power of the resurrection. Since the power does not come from keeping the law, and since power doesn't come from within ourselves, it must come from someplace else. And so where does it come from? Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, Christ speaking of, Romans 4:25, who delivered for our offenses, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Christ died, and when it says he raised from the dead, he was raised so that we could be saved. If he was raised, justification is a judicial act where God says, not guilty because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, if Christ had not risen from the dead. You need to understand something. If Christ hadn't risen from the dead, we would not be saved from our sins and we would be hell bound. How do you know that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. Here's what it says. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ hadn't raised from the dead, if there wasn't that power to raise him from the dead, then we would still be in our sins and condemned to hell. By the way, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you still are in your sins and you're condemned to hell. You need to trust Christ. The question comes, who or what was the power behind the resurrection? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 for the answer. Who or what was the power behind the resurrection? It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. What Spirit are they talking about? They're talking about the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of him, and who raised him up? It's the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The word quicken means made alive. You know, if we go back to Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 2 it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know, before you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're spiritually dead. Now, for a number of years, I worked for an undertaker. And One of the things that I saw is you get a lot of people coming through when you're having a funeral, and they talk to the people in the casket. And you know something that I saw? Never once, not one time, did the dead person in the casket ever talk back to them. You say, come on, preacher. They're dead! Well, yes. And in relationship, spiritually, we're dead as well before we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We're dead, dead, dead. And people just don't get that. I pray. You can say anything you want to say. But I want to tell you, the Lord doesn't hear dead people. Spiritually dead. The only thing he wants to hear from you is, I'm a sinner. Please save my soul. You know, you can say the rosary for every day of your life, 10 times a day, 100 times a day. You can pray the Lord's Prayer all you want. God doesn't hear dead people. And so, here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. The deal is this. When you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, resurrection power, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. If it does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Man, by the spirit of him that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit of God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ's resurrection from the dead proved that God was satisfied with the sacrifice for mankind's sins that Christ had made. And it proved that he accepted it as full payment for our sins. Paul says this way in Romans 1:4. He's declared to be the Son of God with dunamis. With power, with dunamen is actually the context there, but with power, with ability, with capability. He declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, I just want you to see three things, and it's a short message today on purpose because we're coming to the Lord's table. Paul experienced this resurrection power in three ways. This resurrection power, Paul is saying right here, he says, I want to fully experience it, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, he knew it once. He knew that resurrection power when he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, because Paul, who was dead in his trespasses and sin, was raised from the dead, and it's already as if it was all done. He was seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He came from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. And the same will be true for you. If you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're running around like so many people and you're trying to say, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm trying to do all this stuff for you, God. Oh, look at all the things I'm doing for you, God. Aren't I good? You're just talking to yourself. You're dead. You're dead. But if you come to realize that you are spiritually dead, and the only one that can make you alive is the Holy Spirit, and the only way to get the Holy Spirit is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll do what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. In a minute you call upon, the second you call, the nanosecond that you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and makes you alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And Paul, that day, on the road to Damascus, boy, he first experienced that resurrection power. But there's a second aspect of resurrection power. The resurrection power of Christ is given to us. And when we get saved, it's the ability to walk in the newness of life. And it gives us the power to serve him. So the second aspect of the resurrection power that Paul wanted from day by day, moment by moment, was the ability to walk in the newness of life, to say no to sin, and the power to serve God. And it's really interesting. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn back with me to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, it is very, very clear. It says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh." See, the law couldn't give any power. I've told you that. "God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." As you allow the Holy Spirit to direct and empower you in the life, you're experiencing the resurrection power. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." You follow after the things of the world. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life in Christ." And as you continue moving on through this, it tells you to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And you do that by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the first time in your life, you have the power to say no to sin and make it stick. You know, a lot of people, before they're saved, they say no to some sin, but it doesn't stick. But when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have that resurrection power by the indwelling Holy Spirit in you. And the things you used to do, you don't have to do them anymore. You can say no. And you have the power of God within you to say no. And that's what Paul was saying. I want more of that. I want victory over this old nature. And you can have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the power to serve you. You look at all that Paul went through in his life. You know, beaten with sticks, whipped, stoned. And you know what? He says, how he did that was by the resurrection of power that gave Paul the ability to serve. Well, praise God for that. But finally, there's another thing. You call this second power that we read about. Well, let me just read Romans 6, 4 and 5. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." You see, when we're placed into the Lord Jesus Christ, we can walk. God gives us the power to walk in that newness of life. This is sanctification. Finally, not only salvation and sanctification, the ability to walk in the newness of life, become more Christ-like, but we have another aspect of power, and that is when we are raised from the dead. You know what? Every single solitary man, woman, and child in here is going to die someday. Well, barring the rapture, Lord, come back quickly. But it says it's appointed unto men once to what? Die, and after that, the judgment. Life's a terminal illness. We're all going to die. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Jesus Christ died and was put in the grave, do you know that the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is one day going to raise the believer up to immortality? We're going to get a new glorified body. And I don't want to scare everybody, but I say, hallelujah! I'm looking forward to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "For if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile bodies? You know, my upper body strength used to be pretty good when I worked for my dad. We carried rocks and we carried blocks and we carried wood and we did a lot of lifting. And then I got a rude awakening the other day. I asked my wife to get me one of these special bars that you hook on your door so you can do pull-ups and all that kind of stuff. Ha! I got on that thing and I was going to show them. Somehow it didn't work like the guy on TV. But I've been working at it, so instead of going, now I can do two. But I want to tell you something. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. For Christians, there's a day coming, and we'll talk about that in the last message again, but just to give you a brief glimpse, not only does the resurrection power save us and give us the ability in sanctification to live the daily Christian life, but there's also glorification coming when God is going to change this vile body of this believer and yours if you're a believer to be fashioned like unto his glorious body and will be raised to immortality again ourselves. I'm liking that the longer I live. If you want to read more about that, just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not going to be able to do that today, but in summary, let me just put it all together for you. The third blessing of being a born-again believer is having the resurrected power of Christ. Oh, amen. It saves us. Because if Jesus Christ hadn't raised from the dead, then we'd still be in our sins, but he did. And so that resurrection power saves us. And God says, I accepted that sacrifice. He was raised for our justification. Number two, it sanctifies us. We can say no to sin for the first time in our lives and make it stick because we have the resurrected power in our lives by the working of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And number three, what a day it's going to be when that trump blows and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm glad to be saved. If for no other reason than to have the resurrected power of the living Lord Jesus Christ working and strengthening me in my life from day to day.